You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of time first hour talking about the Ohio State and what's next. Playing for the Big Ten Championship? Maybe. If not, no big deal. Still feels like they're going to be in the Final Four when it's all said and done. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. I have a podcast, another podcast. It's called That Scene with Dan Patrick on Amazon Music. And if you thought you knew everything about Breaking Bad, think again, because my guest is Bryan Cranston, a.k.a. Walter White, and I even stumped him on a couple of items from Breaking Bad. But you can download the podcast. And next week, we have Ralphie, Peter Billingsley, Ralphie from A Christmas Story. And they're about a half hour, a lot of fun. And we take you behind the scenes of some famous scenes in these movies or in these TV shows. So it's on Amazon Music. By the way, if you're looking for a great gift for Christmas, danpatrick.com. We got T-shirts, hoodies, we got coffee mugs, flannel shirts, you name it. One-stop shop. And you have until, I believe, the 18th of this month to order to get it in time for Christmas. Also, the calendar is on there as well. We'll get to phone calls coming up. The NFL knew that they would have to be ready for anything this year. But to pull a player like Dez Bryant before last night's nationally televised game and then let him go on a tweet storm that wasn't in any commissioner's handbook, the Ravens receiver was fired up. He was going to face his former team. Fox had a story about Dez. In fact, Dez Bryant was pulled off the field, wasn't going to play, and they still ran the feature on Dez Bryant. Bryant said that he was going to go home and drink some wine and probably not play football the rest of this year. I guess that's a logical response to an illogical season when you think about it. And I'm not sure how the NFL justified playing the game while others were moved back because of contact tracing. We'll have to see what happens when all the facts come out. But the Ravens managed to play and beat the Cowboys. They roughed them up. They ran for nearly 300 yards. And the audience got to watch a relatively entertaining game. But you can't help but watch the Cowboys. And I know we overrate the Cowboys. Everything about the Cowboys is overrated. And you have a defense that there are guys who got paid on that defense. I can give a hall pass to the offense with Dak Prescott out and the offensive line has had injuries. Okay, you still have some weapons on the offense. You still have Zeke Elliott that everybody keeps telling me, yep, they made a smart move in re-signing him. All right. But the defense, that's where I would have heads rolling. I just want accountability. If I'm Jerry Jones, I just want accountability. Just who's responsible? And I would be making moves here because I got to get somebody's attention here. You're the Cowboys, and you're playing like you're the Jaguars. In fact, Jacksonville's more competitive probably week in and week out than the Cowboys are. Got a lot of guys who got paid, and you'd never know it when you watch that team. Yes, McLevin?
After the game and the post game, the Fox guy started diving into that topic about whether the Cowboys would take another quarterback at four.
Yeah.
Even though they all love Dak Prescott, they think he's great. But do you need like a fresh start there anyway? If you're at four, what do you do?
You have to be absolutely positively sure of drafting a quarterback that they can play for you right away because Dallas is built to win right now. Spent all this money, they're built to win right now. This isn't one of those, hey, we got a 2 or 3 year period here, because they don't. They could have signed Dak 18, 19 months ago. They screwed that up. And now here they are, a bad football team. And just the thought that they would be thinking about a quarterback. If you said I could have, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, then I would certainly reconsider what my game plan was going to be moving forward. Because then I get the rookie contract at that position, and then I can afford to bring in a couple more players that might actually be worthy of a contract. But other than that, I think Jerry Jones knows he's stuck with these salaries and reputations, and bring Dak back and see what you have. Yes, McLevin.
One analogy I was thinking about, Drew Brees hurt his shoulder and they drafted Phillip Rivers at 4 and kept Breeze around. Is there any reason to pay Dak $40 million and still draft a quarterback just to see, make sure he gets back to where he was, or is that a waste of resources?
Before I get ready to pay him $40 million, I'm going to know if he can play. And if he can play, I don't want to waste a draft pick up there. Like, you have other needs. And if your offensive line is not going to be what it once was, then I got to make a move. I can trade out of 4 and probably have somebody go up who wants to get one of these quarterbacks. And then maybe I can start to reload, not rebuild, but reload the offensive line. But I just have question marks about what kind of effort does that Dallas team put forward. I mean, this is, they've given up 290 yards twice this year in a game. Last night and the Cleveland Browns. They've done that one other time in franchise history. Mike Nolan's defense is not working. Mike McCarthy is not the right guy for that position. But I don't think Jerry is going to make any changes with Mike McCarthy, and he would be one and done. We wondered why he was brought in the first place. As I said, when they brought him in, it's not like he's Lombardi and bringing him in. I mean, they could have stayed with Jason Garrett and gotten this performance. But you brought in Mike McCarthy, and you're like, yes, we got Mike McCarthy. Was anybody else bidding for Mike McCarthy? And if I'm Jerry Jones, you know what I do? I surprise everybody. And I say, I'm going to bring in Eric Bieniemy as my head coach. I'm going to take him off everybody else's list because it feels like there are 3 or 4, maybe 5 teams that would bring in Eric Bieniemy. How about I go get him and I have him as my head coach here with Dallas? I know it'll never happen, but you got to get something. You're stagnant. You're boring. You're irrelevant. Those are things you would never, those words you don't attach to the Dallas Cowboys, but that's what they are. Yeah, McLovin.
I can think of a rah-rah coach who might be available. He wears khakis.
Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh, Dallas? Wait. I've never seen it written at all, by the way.
No. But, you know, I saw a report where 5 teams are interested in Jim Harbaugh if he decides he goes to the NFL. I don't know if one of those teams would be Dallas. Would the Detroit Lions be interested in Jim Harbaugh? I mean, that would be the ultimate, hey, he's not going to coach at Michigan, but he's staying in the state. He's going to be the Detroit Lions head coach. Yes, Paul.
Going back to the draft order right now after last night's game is Jets number 1, Jacksonville 2, Cincinnati 3. They don't need a quarterback. Dallas right now is in the 4th spot for the NFL draft. Then the Chargers, and then the Philadelphia Eagles in the 6th spot. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I think the Eagles got to decide what they have on their own roster right now. But if you said, these teams can trade out of this. Cincinnati doesn't need it. Jacksonville does, and the Jets do. And then you get to Dallas. If I'm Dallas, I can use this to my advantage being really bad. Get out of there and then still be able to stockpile a little bit. The Chargers don't need a quarterback. Philadelphia's got to decide if they have a legitimate starting quarterback there. Carolina looks like they would be in the market for a quarterback. What's Atlanta do with Matt Ryan? Houston doesn't need a quarterback. Although that pick goes to Miami. Denver, I don't know what Denver's doing. Washington, they would be in the market for a quarterback. Detroit, Chicago. Even San Francisco's in there. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are going to be interested in a quarterback. But, you know, with Dallas, they need other things. Here's Mike McCarthy on what the Cowboys didn't do enough of last night.
300 yards is obviously astronomical. You know, we have to get a quick turnaround. You know, just when you know you feel like you're taking some steps as a team, the keys to the game was stopping a run, and we definitely didn't get that done tonight.
Don't I hear this every game? It feels like. All right, here is John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, on his star quarterback Lamar Jackson.
One thing you do know about Lamar, you're going to get everything he's got, you know, and that's really all you can ask for. He's going to give you whatever he has, and it turned out that he had a lot tonight, and that was good to see. I don't think you could predict that, He came out to practice. He looked good in practice. He was strong and healthy. I'm just impressed with the fact that he was on top of the game plan so well. He'd been studying, obviously, the whole time he's away, and he played a great football game.
Yeah, he did. But it helps if you have a Dallas defense that is clueless, because when I can play the role of amateur Tony Romo watching the game and going, oh, Lamar's going to run. Third down, Lamar's going to run. If I know, I would think that the Dallas defense would know as well. I'm going to let Lamar Jackson, if Lamar Jackson beats me with his arm, okay. But I'm not going to let him beat me with his legs, where he's far more valuable. Yes, yeah,
he. I'm just impressed he knew the game plan so well.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
What is that? Like, yeah, is that kind of what you expect from your quarterback? Like, hey, how about him? He knew what we were doing this week. Huh? That was impressive. Like, what? That didn't sound like much of a compliment to me.
Jerry Jones on Tuesday morning did his weekly interview on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And had some things to say. He talked about how Washington and the Giants are playing well and what that means to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
I think it's an encouraging sign, Mike, to see these teams, these new coaches, these new staffs, these new, directions that they're going, and see them playing some better football as we saw the last two or three days.
I'm not interested in Jerry Jones necessarily Tuesday morning. I'm really interested in Jerry Jones on Wednesday morning. That's when I want to hear from Jerry Jones. Here's Jerry talking about Dak Prescott moving forward with his running skills.
I've always handicapped to some degree Dak because of the fact that he's so effective and has been in his career. Running in the running game, and his ability to take it down and get the big play and get the yards. I've always known that he couldn't do that like that for long in the NFL.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or season pro, you don't want to miss. Stream all three seasons right now on Peacock. Get some phone calls in here. By the way, he was one of the stars on election night, NBC News political correspondent Steve Kornacki. And he was a star on Football Night in America this past Sunday as he was looking at teams. You know, there were teams that look like they have a better chance of making the playoffs. And Steve's job is to look at the odds and the percentages, and he had some teams that aren't in the playoff picture right now, but he feels like they have a better chance than some of those who are in, and he'll join us coming up. Also, Paul Feinbaum from the Mothership will join us a little bit later on with what's going on with college football. Yes, Paul?
You know, Steve Kornacki is kind of like McLovin's bit where, but when Steve Kornacki does it, everything goes right and everything is smooth and the TV works and all the things he swipes, they work perfectly. McLovin, if he were the guy going through the playoff thing, the TV would fall over. He'd have the wrong, you'd hit like the CFL logos up there. And that's the only difference between the two. They both know it, but it would go totally different.
So he'll join us coming up. Some phone calls here. Are we going to stay with the poll question, McLovin, about Ohio State?
Actually, it's 64% say no, they're not okay with Ohio State being the Final Four. How about we do a question? What's the next team to take it, or who's taking the third quarterback? And list all those teams you talk about. Assuming the first two are Jets and Jaguars, then you listed all those teams. It seems like there's seven quarterback needy teams in the top 10. I'm curious who people think. Dallas, Philly, Atlanta, Detroit?
Atlanta and Detroit are interesting because I thought Detroit, you know, if you had a more stable coaching staff, I think they would have taken Tua Tagovailoa. But Matt Patricia and his staff, from what I was told, they knew they had to win this year or they were going to be fired, and they got fired. As far as what's going on in Atlanta, you're going to have a new head coach. Is Matt Ryan going to stay there? Julio Jones going to stay there? Do you rebuild? Do you think you can reload? Tampa and New Orleans are the class of the division there. So I'm not quite sure. But also, I wonder, as we look at these quarterbacks who are going to be up for these big contract extensions, given what happened with Carson Wentz and that contract, do I give a big contract to Lamar Jackson? Do I give a big contract to Baker Mayfield? Do I give a big contract to Josh Allen? And I think, man, I buyer beware with what has happened with Carson Wentz. Because if you can't get the Colts to trade for him or maybe somebody else, you're going to be stuck with that contract. Buffalo, it feels like they will extend Josh Allen. But look at the going rate for quarterbacks. I mean, they're going to be getting at least 35 to 37, maybe even more, a year. You want to do that to Baker Mayfield? You want to do that to Lamar Jackson? You want to do it to Josh Allen? These are questions that you're going to have. These teams are going to have. But I think Buffalo will do that with Josh Allen. I'm going to guess Baltimore will do it with Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Cleveland's going to do that with Baker Mayfield. I mean, it might come down to how Baker performs this year and how they do in the playoffs. Let me see. A couple of phone calls. Jonathan in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jonathan, what do you have for me today?
Hey, DP. Hey, I've been a fan of yours for a long time. And I got to say, you know, we talk about the Cowboys so many times and it's overrated and all that. As a Cowboys fan myself, you know, you talk about Jerry Jones, what he should think that he should do. For me, Jerry Jones ain't going to do nothing. He's not gonna do no moves, no nothing, because he is the owner and he is the GM. And he's definitely not going to do anything to help out the Cowboys at all. He is the biggest. He has money all around. But he's never going to do anything. Never.
Well, but the problem is, though, Jonathan, he tries. And sometimes he gets into his own way. Understand that they were taking Connor Cook. That was the quarterback they were going to take out of Michigan State. They weren't taking Dak Prescott. They were taking Connor Cook. And then the Raiders took Connor Cook. They wouldn't even have Dak Prescott. Jerry, the GM, Jerry, the owner, they toyed with the idea of taking Johnny Manziel. Amari Cooper got $100 million. You re-sign, re-up Zeke Elliott? I mean, those are all Jerry's moves. And I can credit him for some of the fines that they've had or that, you know, they did draft correctly. But Jerry the owner and Jerry the GM, those are two different people. And Dallas paid everybody. Everybody got paid. And then they weren't quite sure on Dak. I don't know about Dak. I don't know about Dak. And then they waited 18 months. And here we are. Yes, Eden.
But dang, man, you can't figure out a way to get the ball to either CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper? Like, it doesn't feel like it should be that hard to figure out a decent offense with the weapons they have.
I don't know what their offensive game plan is. Because and I know Andy Dalton's in there and it's not Dak Prescott. It's not that far of a drop-off between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. No? I mean, it's not like Joe Namath to Chad Pennington. Yes, McLovin.
How do you throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper when you're on the sidelines for 11 minutes watching the other team gash you for eight yards of run? Yeah. Run, if you can't stop the run, your quarterback is doomed because he never gets a rhythm. And by the way, Andy threw for 300 last night. No big deal.
You're right. It was no big deal.
Yeah. Loyalty. 170 was in garbage time, but whatever. Yeah. No, we're not counting. It's the only total number.
No big deal. No big deal. All right, let me take a break. We'll get to phone calls. Got a lot of people want to talk college football as well. Steve Kornacki, the NBC News political correspondent, will join us and talk to him about his appearance on Football Night in America. And he'll run the percentages here of teams that maybe you don't think are going to make the playoffs, but he thinks they have a better chance than you do. We'll take a break 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. MasterClass offers exclusive classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. You want to learn about basketball? You can learn from Steph Curry. You want to learn about ball handling and shooting? You can learn that. You want to learn about comedy? Steve Martin has a class there. You want to learn about photography? Annie Leibovitz is there. Gordon Ramsay helping you with cooking. The lessons, there are about 20 per class. 10 minutes per lesson, but you do it at your own pace. It's not like you go, oh, I have to lock in at a certain time to watch the next lesson. You do it, available anytime, anywhere, phone, computer, tablet, or smart TV. Each class supported by downloadable materials and workbooks, exercises, recipes, and with over 90 classes from a wide range of world-class instructors, if there's something you always thought about doing, you want to pick up a hobby, this is the place to go. And you have the annual membership to MasterClass, and once you get that, you can give an annual membership to somebody else for free. Every MasterClass is available, unlimited access, and for you and a friend. Go to MasterClass.com/Patrick, MasterClass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app, where other vans stop short. Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. I talk about this occasionally where we stumble upon somebody, an athlete, and we go, oh, took him 10 years to become an overnight sensation. Like Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback who might win the Heisman. Well, he's had a long road to get to this point, and then all of a sudden we go, oh, Kyle Trask. Yes, but it took a long time to get there. Steve Kornacki is the national political correspondent for NBC News, MSNBC, NBC News, the election map expert. And it feels like you became an overnight sensation, but took you a long time to become an overnight sensation. Steve, thanks for joining us. What do people say to you when they see you on the street?
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. I guess one of the things about life in the pandemic is you don't see too many people on the street. So the few I've run into, though, the map guy, the numbers guy, you know. Still a few, every now and then they'll say, hey, it's Chris Hayes. So I still get that.
How do you become the election map expert?
Honestly, it's something it's a role I kind of always wanted. It's one that's kind of, I think, come into being in the last 20 years or so. It's funny when I go back and look at, I love looking at kind of archive news footage, archive sports footage. I like looking at stuff from the past. I realized, just 20 years ago, back in 2000, Tim Russert was here at NBC and, the famous moment in the 2000 election when it all came down to Florida, a couple hundred votes, Russert didn't have an electronic board. He had a whiteboard and he just wrote down Florida, Florida, Florida. And I think that's in the Smithsonian now. But I mean, that was technology just 20 years ago. So this, the idea of having a board with real time data, with numbers, it's really come in the last 10, 15 years. But since it's kind of been around, I had my eye on it and I got lucky about, it was 2014, actually. 2014, my boss here called me up about 2 months before the election, said, hey, we need somebody to do this. You think you could do something with it? I said, yeah, I think I could. So that was the start of it for me.
How do you memorize all the counties?
I think it's just good old fashioned, staring at it, memorizing it, repeating it, pulling out the map, trying again. It helps. I haven't been to all these places. I've not been to more counties than I've been to, but one thing in the last 6 years, I vacationed in Ohio about 2 years ago just to learn the state, to learn the counties, to get a better sense of it that way. That helps, but obviously I haven't done that anywhere. So really it's like cramming for a final. It's just memorization and repetition in it. The memory kind of builds.
Who's better on the touch screen, you or John King?
Oh, come on. He's John King's the original. Nothing but respect for him. And honestly, I haven't seen a CNN election night since I've been doing this because there's no time to watch it. So I'm not qualified to say.
You're kind of like Lamar Jackson and he's Michael Vick. Like he might have been the original and then you're an updated version of it.
That's it. He's still doing it. Hey, and Fox has someone doing it. And I don't want to get into anything with anybody. I try not to make enemies.
How did you end up on Football Night in America?
I got a call about a week after the election from my boss here saying the folks at NBC Sports, wanted to, talk to me, had a couple ideas. I was very excited to hear that. And, so we'd been talking for about 2 weeks before it and, came up with the idea, I think, that, hey, this is, December in the NFL. It's when the playoff race really gets serious. And I think it seemed like there really was a parallel there between road to 270 and an electoral map for a presidential election and road to the playoffs. It's all about scenarios. It's all about if this state goes this way or if this team does this. There really did seem to be an overlap there.
Give me a couple of teams that aren't maybe being mentioned as playoff teams, but you think they have a better chance than maybe a couple of teams that we think are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is now too counterintuitive watching the game last night. I know they were talking about this a lot, but Baltimore, you know, sitting there right now at 7-5 would not be in the playoffs if they started today. If you just look at their schedule, they get Cleveland next week, and after that, it's three teams with losing records. You know, so they've got a really easy schedule down the stretch. It's not hard to see them getting, you know, to 10 wins. And you compare that like to Miami, who would be in right now in the sixth spot. You know, Miami, a game ahead of Baltimore in the standings, sitting there at 8-4. Miami doesn't have a single game left against a team with a losing record. I mean, starting with Kansas City next week. So, you know, the sort of the burden's on Miami to show they can hang on to that position against the kind of competition they're taking. And it just seems like the opportunity is there for Baltimore to leapfrog a bunch of teams here just based on that schedule.
When did you become fascinated with numbers?
You know, it was when I was in first grade. It was the, I could tell you, it was the 1985-86 NBA season. I grew up outside Boston. I would go outside, get the Boston Globe every morning and read the Celtics box scores. And that was the best Celtics team ever. That was the big three, Bird, McHale, Parrish, and Celtics box scores that season. And then summer of 86 was the Red Sox. That was the, you know, with the Buckner year. So the Red Sox were a thing that year. I got into baseball box scores. And, you know, that kind of started numbers for me. And then a couple of years later, you know, kind of got into politics really about middle school and kind of the numbers aspect of it too, I guess.
But the pressure on election night is different. Like you can be on football night in America and you might make a mistake and it's football night in America, but election night, how much pressure did you feel?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot there. And this year was more intense because there's just this added variable this year of people were voting by mail. And we knew the people voting by mail were going to be overwhelmingly Biden. And the people who were going out, you know, and voting in person at their precinct on election day, we knew that was going to be pretty heavily Trump. And there was just this variable as the numbers would come in from a lot of places of, okay, are we looking at votes that were cast by mail here? Are we looking at votes that were cast in person today? Are we looking at a mix of both? Because that question in trying to be on top of that information was key to understanding everything that was happening. And that was just something, at a certain level, there's no preparing for it because we'd never had that before in an election. And so, yeah, I felt, I always feel a lot of anxiety before these things. This year, I felt about 10 times more than I have in the past.
How do you come off as unbiased?
I mean, it's probably a cliche, but the numbers don't lie, you know, at a certain point. And you know, I can, if I have a, it's true in sports, it's true covering politics. If you're cheering for a team in sports, you know, there's no denying if they lose 17-14. There's no time left on the clock. Then they've lost. The game's over. You got to talk about the next game. You know, I think the same is true in, you know, covering an election. It wouldn't do me any good to be trying to, you know, kind of push it to one side or to push it to the other as the numbers come in, because they are going to ultimately all come in and we'll all be able to see what it is.
What happens if the touch screen goes down? What was the game plan?
It's happened before. It's how I made the Tonight Show for the first time in my life. This was in the 2016 election. I was doing a segment and the board went blank, completely blank, but the writing function on it, you know, with my finger still worked and the camera's still rolling. Nobody's telling me to stop. So I'm like, I got to improvise here. And we were talking about sort of, you know, road to 270. So I said, okay, I'll draw a crude outline of the United States and I can kind of talk about the different regions. So I tried to draw the United States and it turned out it looked like part of the male reproductive. Jimmy Fallon noticed it. That was my first, you say overnight fame or something. That was my first taste of it.
Okay. But how do you react to something like that? I know you, I think you majored in TV and film at Boston University, but you know, now I'm famous and I'm infamous. And so how do you process that?
Yeah, the thing about that was like, I didn't even realize it till things started popping up online. I really didn't think I had done anything. And then it was one of those, it was obvious once I saw it, I was like, okay, I see how everybody saw that. And of course I was on with one of my colleagues here Hallie Jackson. And I think, you know, she was standing next to me the whole time, and you could see when you look at the tape, she recognized it the whole time. And certain, when something like that happens, my view is it's like, just, you know, just own it. And, you know, I kind of stepped in it, and I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'll just, you know, I'll laugh along with everybody, because it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's best to grab it and own it before somebody else does. I always tell people, and this has happened to me on numerous occasions, you make a mistake, own it. And then you take away the weapon that somebody else has when they're going to point that out. So you did the right thing, where you just go, hey, I did it. I move on. Yeah.
And I think you're right. And that's what I try to do when it's a little bit more serious than a drawing like that. You know, we've gotten numbers wrong. We've gotten, you know, we'll get vote returns that come in, and it turns out there's corrections, and they change completely. And yeah, no, I do think that's key with the audience, just in terms of credibility. Don't try to pretend if you made a fool of yourself, don't try to pretend you didn't.
Based on the numbers, who would you put in the Super Bowl? Can you do something that far out of projection?
I guess this would be the Steve Kornacki gut numbers, because I haven't seen the updated, you know, our partner is PFF, Pro Football Focus, and I haven't seen their updated numbers after last night, but just my gut on it would be Kansas City, you know, in the AFC. And I think, you know, probably conventional wisdom at this point. In the NFC, I'm kind of liking the way Green Bay's playing right now.
Okay. Well, wait, is this based off anything, or is this is your gut feeling?
Well, this is my gut feeling, okay. And it's also a sense of where the numbers, I haven't seen the updates, but my guess is between Pittsburgh losing, you know, Kansas City hanging out against Denver, my sense is the numbers are going to shift pretty dramatically in the AFC here.
Give me your favorite county in the United States.
That's a good question. My favorite county, well, I got to be partial to Middlesex County, Massachusetts, where I was born.
Is there a favorite name of a county that you loved saying?
There's Otagamie County in Wisconsin, which has one of the, you know, the funny, Wisconsin has the best county names, you know. There's also, you know, where Ann Arbor is in Michigan, Washtenaw County. You know, when you get to the upper Midwest, I think you get a lot of those, you know, sort of Native American names, and you get, those are the ones where sometimes in my early days of doing this, I would call when I wasn't sure in the pronunciation on the day of an election, I would just call up like the county clerk's office just to see how they answered the phone. And that would be my answer.
Yeah. That's what's difficult, is just making sure, because I always point out that there was a movie, The Thomas Crown Affair, with Pierce Brosnan. And they mention in the movie that somebody is from Lima, Ohio. Well, it's Lima, Ohio. And if you're from that area, you're like, how could you screw that up? So you have to make sure you get it right. We might not know the county you're talking about, but the people who live in that county know the county you're talking about.
The locals do. And some of them are very, you know, counterintuitive. You go down like where San Antonio is in Texas. It looks like Bexar County. It's Bexar County, Bexar, and it's Bexar County. That one took me a while to learn.
Hey, congrats on the success there, Steve. And hopefully we'll see you on football. Are you doing Football Night in America now the rest of the regular season?
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to do it through the rest of the season. You know, follow the playoff race, look at the numbers change, and it's very excited for it.
All right, just be careful what you draw, okay?
Yeah, thanks. I think I learned my lesson there.
Thank you, Steve. That's Steve Kornacki. And he, of course, works for NBC, their national political correspondent, MSNBC, and he is the election map expert. He was the star on election night. Depending on what you were watching, if you stumbled upon NBC News with their coverage, you couldn't take your eyes off what he was doing. He was all in. He was fascinated. Yes, yes, Tom.
And he's like a hero on social media. Just everybody loves that guy.
Yeah,
on all the platforms.
Well, you need that guy. Like, you just want it broken down so you understand what is going on. And, you know, Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert, he was so great on TV. And, you know, Tim was writing on his, you know, his whiteboard. And now you have the technology that what Steve has, John King. Yes, Paulie.
I wonder if Kornacki could get some sponsorships. You know, there's those Untuckit shirts, but what about a shirt company where the sleeves are pre-rolled up and called it the Kornacki? Mm. I mean, it's gold. Mm. Gold.
He gets his khakis from The Gap, by the way. That's one of those where, you know, you sort of accidentally stumble into celebrityhood. You know, it's not like you go, hey, I'm going to be the map expert. And somebody's going to go, you're going to be a big deal. Yeah, right. And then his first taste with, you know, national recognition, he draws a phallic symbol on a touchscreen. Yeah.
And his co-host there in the moment knows exactly what's happening.
My God.
And she's just like, oh my God. She can't. She's trying to hold back her laughter, but really can't. It's pretty hilarious.
Because he's all in and he doesn't realize what he's doing. And then she's like going, oh my God. He doesn't know that he's drawing that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good job, Todd, reaching out and getting Steve on the program. Paul Feinbaum will join us coming up next hour. We'll come back. Got a couple of stats of the day. Also, I stumbled upon a movie yesterday afternoon, and I was pleasantly surprised, and I didn't know if this person could pull it off, but they did. I'll have that for you coming up. Phone calls as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was looking for something to watch. I'm not necessarily a binge watcher. I like a little separation. I don't like to watch 8 episodes of something in a day. At least I try not to. And I stumbled upon this movie. It's called Peppermint. And it came out in 2018. And the hero of the movie is Jennifer Garner. And she is a vigilante. Her family has been killed, and she's going after this drug cartel, and she does it single-handedly. And I thought, okay, now I don't watch trailers. I usually don't even read reviews on a movie. I'll just, if somebody recommends it, but I thought, all right, I loved her in Alias. I think she's very talented. And I wondered if she could pull off this, I'm a badass. And she did. She did a great job in it. So it's called Peppermint. And I don't know if there's anybody else in the movie that you would know name-wise, but she is really, really good. Yeah, Paul.
Is it a good movie, or do you just really, really like Jennifer Garner? Which is understandable, because we all do. It's a fair question.
I love Jennifer Garner.
That's true.
Yes. And but I thought that she, you know, because of that, how I see her normally, you know, as a mother of three, and, you know, you just go, okay. But then you see her in this movie, and then you forget that that's Jennifer Garner, mother of three kids. She plays the role extremely well. And she's tough. She's good. Yeah, McLovin.
More realistic as a vigilante, or when she played a Browns executive in the movie Draft Day?
Ooh.
Both tough jobs.
I'm going to say the vigilante. Like, I had a problem with Draft Day, or what was it called?
Yeah,
Draft Day with Kevin Costner. You know, there were a couple of things that were a little loose in there.
They took a running back too high.
Yeah, right?
That bothers you.
Yes,
you don't want to waste a draft.
And look, I made the mistake where I said, yeah, I'd take Saquon Barkley. And I made a mistake there. Yeah, Paulie.
Do you remember when Andrew actually, when you went around to us and we each got to ask Kevin Costner a question?
Yeah.
And Andrew's question was, what were you thinking taking a running back so high in the draft?
That's at the stage for him cursing out Paulie. Next question.
Well, you remember, Dan, I think Jennifer Garner was on our show. I'm checking my notes, 2014, and the Danettes were absolutely smitten. She may be a one seed for most smitten reaction on the show.
Yeah. Her and Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah.
That when she came in studio, when we were still at ESPN, and remember she came in with the commish?
Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, Michael Chiklis. But Michael Chiklis was a little too protective. Like, it felt like, you know, like we're in the radio studio on the campus of ESPN. Easy there, Mike. Easy, commish. Like, I thought he was, like, this close to going commish on us. And we were just having fun. And we had Jen Garner on, and I think we had her after the Super Bowl or close. It was playoff season, and I was asking her about, does she watch football with Ben? She was still with Ben Affleck. And, you know, she was very playful. She was fun. And, yeah, you couldn't help but love her. But Peppermint is the name of the movie, in case you guys are interested in that. I did try Marauders with Bruce Willis. Nah. And I, you know, I usually look, Netflix had their top 10, and then I go, oh, okay, this looks interesting. Marauders, I didn't enjoy, but Peppermint was good. Yeah, McClubbin.
When are you going to dive in? My wife keeps asking, when's Dan going to watch The Crown? We need to know.
I'm not interested in those kind of movies. I'm just not. Like, I find it all so tragic with, you know, Princess Diana. And it just feels like, you know, people hold on. They make a living off of this, covering the royals and everything that goes along with it. I don't know. I find it really sad what kind of life she had, how she was living her life after she got divorced. You know, her sons don't get along right now. I mean, there's I just find it sad. You know, I don't find any enjoyment watching something like that. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, The Crown, I tried to do the first season, but could never make it through. I got about, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes in. It's just too slow. But season 4 has been all right. If you're going to watch a season, that's the one to watch for sure.
Yeah, I heard. And then now they want the producer director to put a disclaimer there to say that this is fiction. Yeah, Seton.
I'm just about to finish up Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty good. It's hokey for sure, but damn, is it funny! Like I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was gonna.
Yes, Paulie.
I'm guessing there's very little nudity in The Crown, which leaves Todd out. I mean, he's not big on.
Yeah, my wife's watching that. That doesn't do anything.
Monarchy.
Do you watch any shows that are now?
I watch old episodes of Dark Angel, Jessica.
No, no.
That's when she kind of came on the scene.
No,
like
I'm saying now. I'm saying now. Like, is there a show now?
There's any show based for tweeners, Todd's in.
No, I like shows like The Goldbergs and things like that. I want to laugh. I don't want anything to. I'll watch, you know, the Law and Order shows and things like that. You know, but
because nothing makes you laugh like Law and Order.
No, I'm saying like when I'm in the mood for something more serious, I'll watch, you know, Dateline NBC. I like that on Friday night, the murder mysteries, even though it kind of ends sadly every week. And it's based on someone being killed, but it's interesting the way they tell the story of how they found the evidence and who didn't do it. But yeah, I'm kind of living in the 70s and 80s. I don't do the binge watching thing where there's something that I like that much and I want to watch.
Ed in Illinois joins us. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Ed. Hey, DP. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You and Andy were talking about Jim Harbaugh and if he were to leave Michigan or be removed. How come no one mentions Mike Elston, over at Notre Dame? He played at Michigan. He coached there early on, and he's done a great job from what I hear under Brian Kelly. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know enough about him, Ed, but I'll get some of my best people on that. We love to, you know, jettison somebody, fire somebody, get rid of somebody, move on from somebody. I just need to know who you're putting in their place, who comes in and you go, that's an upgrade. Like, I don't want it to be addition by subtraction. And it feels like that's what maybe Texas is looking at. Maybe Michigan is looking at that as well. Paul Feinbaum, voice of the SEC, will join us. What's he make of what's going on with Ohio State? Michigan, everything else in college football, that'll be coming up. One more item in the second hour. You've probably seen the new Mercedes-Benz coupe or sedan or SUV. Don't sleep on the Mercedes-Benz vans. That Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van is awesome. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me backtrack a little bit. This is now a car company that goes the extra mile. They have a network of over 250 authorized dealerships. They're backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything. You want to customize your vehicle, certified service, financing solutions tailored specifically to your personal needs here. Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to your work or your play lifestyle. Got so many different things. Cutting-edge options, the blind spot assist, rear cross traffic alert, the MBUX voice command technology, directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. Stay tuned for an incredible giveaway on this show, a Mercedes-Benz van. That will start next Monday, December 14th. Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described as optional.